It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Wednesday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. On at this time or any time, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Gene and I have been in ministry for 49 years. We've been traveling across America, nations of the world, since 1985. About a year ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to start leading internet prayer. I want you to start leading prayer over the internet 24 hours a day. Now, you know, in the realm of the possible, that is not possible. But we know that all things are possible through Him. And I knew that was an impossibility. But I responded. I said to Gene, the Holy Spirit spoke to me to lead prayer 24 hours a day. And she said to me, "Now, you know that that is not possible." I said, "That's exactly what I'm talking about. I know in the realm of the natural, that is not possible. But in the realm of the supernatural, all things are possible." So a man by the name of Michael Schonborn from England, a German, of German descent, but I met him in England several years ago. He said, "I'll help you." There's always somebody ready and willing and waiting to help you. I declare it today. So someone's waiting to help you fulfill your dream. So he helped me, and I used the experience I've had years gone by in radio, and started last November. And now we have been going about 10 months, continuously around the clock leading prayer. And so before I was a preacher, I was a prayer, P-R-A-Y-E-R. And a prayer is one that has a certain time and a certain place. According to Mark chapter 1, Jesus departed to a solitary place a great while before day, and there he prayed. Certain time, certain place. So I began to pray years ago, and then I began to lead prayer in 1985 in churches, individual churches. And so I have done some, I've led prayer over the internet from time to time via live streaming. But now I have the tremendous opportunity to lead prayer around the clock, around the globe. And so we have, what, maybe about 70 nations that have joined us over the past 10 months praying with us, as well as every state in America, with the exception of three or four. So we're reaching, we got about 46 states in America that is praying with us. And we have over 1,000 churches. Let me check and see how many exactly we have. We have praying with us now 1,091 churches. What does that mean? That means that at least one person out of those 1,091 churches, one or more people, are praying with us on a regular basis on here on Breakout Prayer Network. They're part of Breakout Prayer Network. And I just want to welcome some of those churches today that are praying with us. Emmanuel Fellowship in Cottonwood, Arizona is praying with us, as well as the Well Worship Center, Tucson, Arizona, and the Gathering Christian Fellowship, Tucson, Arizona. Hope Open Bible Church, Bentonville, Arkansas, as well as Community Fellowship Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We have Lighthouse Church in Warren, Arkansas, as well as Springdale First Assembly of God, Springdale, Arkansas. The Friendly Will Baptist Church, Los Angeles, California, is praying with us, as well as the West Coast Life Church in Marietta, California. Got a lot of churches in California. Churches all across America. I want to welcome Gateway Grace Fellowship, Fort Myers, Florida, as well as Christ Fellowship in Loxahatchee, Florida. Florida is well represented on the Breakout Prayer Network. And if you'd like, if you would like for your church to be a part of the Breakout Prayer Network, we're approaching 1,100 churches. All you have to do is go to Let's Pray America. There's no commas there. It's just letsprayamerica.com. Letspray America.com. And there you can sign up right there on the home sheet, the home page, and you can just sign up your church and your city. And if you want to sign up as an individual, and you can receive a daily prayer that I've been sending out for over 3 years. So I am a preacher. I am a prophetic voice. And I've been doing that for 49 years. I've been preaching, serving as a prophetic voice to America since 1985. But my first call, my primary call, was to pray. I love to pray, and that's why I'm on every day here on BPN Radio. That's why I'm leading prayer. Today, Bishop Tony Miller is going to be back. He was with us Monday, but he has some more things to say concerning the church today. Concerning what's happening to the church today, concerning the millennials, concerning what the Holy Spirit is speaking to him concerning the church in America. And I'm very excited about having this man on, Bishop Tony Miller, one of the great preachers in America and my friend since 1987. We've been in a relationship, Gene and I, with he and his wife, Kathy, since 1987, and I've had the privilege of helping marry a couple of his daughters and ministering in the churches that he's pastored over the years many, many times. So he's going to be on with us. It's going to be an interesting broadcast. You're going to be illuminated. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged, and it's certainly going to be profitable and fruitful for you to stay tuned. Father, we just pray the will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God be done here on BPN Radio on this Wednesday. In Jesus' name, I'm so thankful for the people that are praying with me today, that are listening today. I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful for all of these churches that are a part of Breakout Prayer Network. And I believe in, Lord, one day for a million people to be joining me as we pray for this nation. I don't believe that God has finished with America yet. And I believe that He is at work in this land. We have some wonderful things to share with you after the interview with Bishop Tony Miller. But first of all, we're going to have that interview with Bishop Tony Miller. But before we get him on the phone to talk about the church, what's happening today, the revelation he has, here's another friend of mine whose name is Chris Folsom. And Chris has written an incredible song that I know is going to be a blessing to you. One of my favorite, called I See the Lord. And the prophet said, in the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. Chris is my friend. He's making a tremendous impact in Hollywood with those in entertainment. And he's also a singer and songwriter. Here he is, Chris Folsom. I saw the Lord. I see the Lord. And then we'll be back with Bishop Tony Miller. Okay, I'm delighted to have here on BPN Radio today Bishop Tony Miller, who has been my friend since 1987. And we've done a lot of ministry together over the years. And a man that I consider one of the greatest preachers in America. And he pastors a great church in Oklahoma City called The Gate. And he also has leads a ministry called Destiny World Outreach, and he's been to 76 nations of the world, and over 300,000 leaders have gone through his training school. And Bishop Tony Miller is an incredible leader, credible preacher, credible pastor, and also has serves as an apostolic leader over a group of churches. Good to have you on today, Bishop Tony Miller. Well, welcome.
Well, thank you, Brother Dale, man. What an honor it is to be with you. I view you as one of the great heroes in my life and a major voice that has affected us in such a positive way. So it's my joy and honor to be with you.
Well, it's my honor to be in a relationship with you and your wife, Kathy, and your family, which I love very much. And I want to talk today about the church. I know I had you on this past Monday, and I was sharing a word that you had given earlier. But here on this week after 9/11, I know that you have some insight concerning the church. You know, there's a lot of fear going on among Christians today. I've never, in my 49 years of ministry, I've never experienced where there's so much uncertainty in the church world among Christians. And I'd just like for you to, I know you told me you've spent the summer ministering from Timothy, I believe. And I'd just like you to share with us your perspective, what you see going on here as we are in a week where, you know, people are talking about the blood moons, the Shemitah, and other things, the economy, et cetera, et cetera. So from your perspective and your insight, your revelation, talk to us today.
Well, thank you, Dale, for the opportunity just to share. You know, it's amazing to me. We're in a very unusual times, in the sense that the world is seeming to be searching for answers in a way like never before. We have a millennial generation of young people that are probably more "quote unquote" spirit sensitive than ever in history, and yet we have a deteriorating value system that's eroding away the very foundation of our culture. And one of the things that has been so strong inside of me is, how does the church respond in a shifting culture? What one guy used to say, used to talk about changing the landscape, he said, now it's the seascape. Things change so quickly that you don't even have time to know that a change is taking place. And we are obviously living in the acceleration of shifting times. When you watch nations overnight almost go to bankruptcy, when you see the alignment of certain nations into chaotic conditions, mm-hmm. when you see the inner cities of America explosive yeah. in a matter of days, mm-hmm. and you realize the fragileness of our economy, yeah. the underpinning of our homes and marriage being destroyed. Mm-hmm. You look at people that are full of mixture, and you begin to develop a sense of, oh my, mm-hmm. what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And it becomes easy for the church to think, man, I'm out of here. I've got nothing to do with this. This is not anything for me. Mm-hmm. But yet the amazing thing, Dale, to me is that the whole New Testament, the power of the resurrection, the benefits and the power of Pentecost was immersed into the midst of the Roman Empire and exploded with great influence and great fruit. So I asked myself the questions, if the gospel can survive in an environment like that, then what's the message to us in 2015? What's God saying to us that will give us the ability to make a difference? You know, I believe this, Dale, that the churches and the people that learn to broker in hope are the people that's going to affect the 21st century. Mm-hmm. It becomes vitally important that we as Christians learn how to lead from the future mm-hmm. and not from the past. Sometimes we are so reactive that we lose our place of influence. So I was sharing with you earlier. Is it okay if I just keep talking about this for a minute?
Yeah, you keep talking. Yeah.
Okay. This summer, you know, after the Supreme Court decisions, after I was in Europe when Greece almost went bankrupt and realized the tension that was there, mm-hmm. I was just there last week with the immigration issue of people coming out of the Middle East through Hungary and into trying to get into Vienna, Austria, and the Germans putting pressure on the rest of Europe on whether they're going to take these immigrants, our own situations, our political things that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. And man, I was just crying out, God, we got to have an answer. Because I sense the church and the world becoming more fearful. And I realized I grew up in an era when the church, you know, when we grew up, we were afraid of everything.
Yeah.
We were afraid of the Russians. Mm-hmm. We were afraid of Gorbachev. We were afraid of nuclear weapons. We were afraid of backward maskings. We played records backwards and found demons. We were afraid of barcodes. I remember one time a guy came and preached a whole 5-night revival on barcodes on the side of a piece of pack of chewing gum. It made me afraid to eat chewing gum. I haven't ate chewing gum to this day, Hard, because I was afraid of chewing gum. Yeah. So I knew everything had some subliminal message about mm-hmm. the end of the world, and we needed to be afraid. Mm-hmm. But here's what I found out, Dale, is that when the church is afraid, mission is forfeited.
Mm-hmm.
When we become afraid, we forfeit our mission in the earth. If we're really salt and light, mm-hmm. if we're really here to flavor things and season things, and if we're really here to turn on the lights in the midst of darkness, then we cannot be afraid of the culture and the world we've been called to reach. Because our temptation is that when that pressure begins to happen, we will do one of two things. We'll isolate ourselves, we'll withdraw into the safety of our church, or withdraw mm-hmm. into the subculture of people who just talk like we talk, believe like mm-hmm. we believe, and we'll totally miss the brokenness that's around us because we will just huddle up.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong to huddle up. Every football team every now and then has to huddle up. You've got to mm-hmm. get in the huddle and get play.
Yeah.
But if you stay in the huddle, you lose the game.
That's true.
And if the church stays in the huddle, always trying to get a play, we're never going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't isolate. We can't believe that by isolation we somehow preserve ourselves. Because, you know, I firmly believe the greater one's in me. So, you know, I shared with you as we were getting ready to go on the air that Carl F. Henry, the first editor of Christianity Today, a great scholar, he made the statement. He said the early church didn't say, look, what's the world coming to? He said what the early church said was, look what's coming to the world. Here comes the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the people empowered through Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the people that in the midst of dire need have answers. So we obviously can't isolate. Second thing the church does is it becomes irritated. We become irritated at people for their behavior, mm-hmm. almost angry.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me when the church responds to our cultural shifts with anger. You can't reach a world you're mad at.
That's true.
And you can't be upset with sinners for sinning.
Yeah, right.
What are they supposed to do?
uh-huh.
In fact, Paul said it this way, such were some of you. I mean, what did we
do
mm-hmm. before we came to Christ? What was our life like?
Mm-hmm.
So brokenness is a part of all of us at some point in time.
Yeah.
So here's what became so real inside of me is that in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, his spiritual son, who has by that time become the pastor of the church in Ephesus, which is probably the largest church in the New Testament era. 25 or 30,000 converts become followers of the way. Timothy is now their pastor and leader, a son raised up by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul the apostle is in prison. He's incarcerated not because he's a preacher. He's incarcerated because he is a political threat to the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's incarcerated as a terrorist because Paul kept making this statement, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus is Lord, Nero can be. And we're looking at around 67 AD. So it's 3 years after Rome is burnt. Nero's blamed it on the Christians. He's actually taking Christians and throwing them in the arena of the Colosseum and feeding them to lions. He's taking Christians and tying them at a stake and setting them on fire and using them as lanterns around his yard for nights when he throws parties. Can you imagine going to a party and there are people burning at the stake around the outside the perimeter as the lantern and the lighting for you to throw a big party?
Wow.
That's how perverse the culture had become.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's incarcerated in prison, headed to execution. He knows he's not going to ever get out. And he hears that Timothy has become intimidated by the pressure of the world. And he writes to him as a spiritual son, understanding, watch this, this is so amazing, Dale. Timothy was disadvantaged from the very beginning of his life. Timothy came from a mixed marriage. Timothy's father was a Gentile. His mother was a Jew. Mm-hmm. So he was disadvantaged. The Gentiles didn't want him. The Jews didn't want him. There was no greater prejudice than the prejudice between Jews and Gentiles. Mm-hmm. So Paul has raised up this young man who's disadvantaged, and he's taught him to be confident because of the Christ that's in him. And he's saying, Timothy, I've gotten word that you're beginning to back up and want to withdraw. He said, so let me remind you of a couple of things. And here's the things I just felt today. All the people that listen to your radio program, here's a couple of things we all need to remember. First of all, he said, Timothy, the faith that was in your grandmother and the faith that was in your mother, I believe is in you also. Dale, we have to remember in America that the faith that we have has a history.
Yeah.
It survived the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. It survived the Dark Ages. It survived the persecution of Europe when Christians were burned at the stake, stoned, beheaded for their faith. It survived the Roaring Twenties. It survived two world wars in the 20th century. It will survive our situations presently.
Yes.
Our faith has history.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God, I think, tells us sometimes, bless the Lord and forget not. You can't forget the power that is in the faith that we have in God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith.
Yeah.
And Timothy, I'm trying to tell you, Paul said, every battle that you face is for your faith. God doesn't need the devil doesn't need your house. He doesn't need your car. He doesn't need your job. He's not really after those things. What he's after is your faith.
Your faith, yeah.
Because the minute you quit believing, you start backsliding. When expectation is gone, backsliding begins. So we find church is full of Christian atheists. They have a doctrine of belief, but a lifestyle of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to maintain the faith in the midst of this culture. We cannot lose the faith.
That's right.
Because five Supreme Court justices made a decision.
That's true.
Do you realize there was not a leader of Rome? There was not a Roman leader that wasn't bisexual. Nero was a pedophile. Most of them were.
Uh-huh.
It was rampant, and the gospel survived.
Yeah,
that's what we have to believe,
mm-hmm.
that the gospel is still greater than all of the cultural ills of our day. And so he said to him, you have to know your faith has history, because here's what I want you to do, Timothy. I want you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. Don't let your fear make you retreat. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, Dale. I think there are people that are listening that have been they've been retreating and letting their gifts lie dormant.
Yeah.
And I just hear the Holy Ghost saying, stir up the gift that's in you.
Right.
Fan the flame that's on the inside of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, biblically, the Old Testament gives it to us in a picture. The New Testament gives it to us in experience. God only lit the fire on the altar one time. And then he told the priest, you maintain it.
Keep it burning, yeah.
Keep it burning.
Yep.
And really what he does in us is he lights our fire,
mm-hmm.
and then he says to us, fan the flame.
That's very good, very good.
Fan the flame.
Yeah.
In other words, we can't say my church has lost the fire, because churches don't get fire. People get fire.
That's true. That's true.
And if my church is going to catch fire, I got to fan the flame.
Yeah.
There's churches all over America today. People listening to this radio program could show up in their place of worship this Sunday, and they could begin to fan the flame on the inside of them, and there would be a blaze that would happen in churches.
That's very good. Very good.
Why is it important that I fan the deposit God made in me? Because every destiny has an accompanying grace.
Mm-hmm.
So if God's given you a destiny, he's given you the capacity to fulfill that destiny, but you have to activate it.
Yeah.
You have to stir it up.
Uh-huh.
Remember what God told Abraham? He said, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, I realize that was a prophetic word pointing to Jesus. But there's also a message that goes beyond that, because Galatians comes along and tells us we are the seed of Abraham. So that means the God intended the earth to be blessed through the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere we go, God's intention was not that, boy, I really feel this today. God is not looking for some superhero apostle or some superhero evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for ordinary men and women, businessmen, housewives, mm-hmm. school teachers, people that work at the factory, mm-hmm. ordinary people that recognize that what God's intention was from the beginning is that he would have a family that became a community, that became a great nation,
yeah.
and that that family would have the ability to be grace dispensers everywhere they went, give hope to the hopeless, light to the darkness,
mm-hmm.
salt to the things that were not flavored,
mm-hmm.
so that the world would be blessed through the people of God. That only happens when a businessman goes to his office and stirs up his gift.
Yeah.
Fans the flame. Lets the life of God flow out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So then Paul says to Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. For God did not give you the spirit of fear. That word fear, literally, I mean, the literal translation of it is don't be a coward.
Mm-hmm.
You could say don't be timid. But that's what God's looking for. He's looking for people today who will not be timid in their walk with God, not be timid about who they are, not put their life on cruise control,
mm-hmm.
but really just say, you know what? I'm God's instrument and I'm God's tool for this generation. If there's any hope in America today, it's not in D.C. It's in the people of God all over America.
Mm-hmm. So,
hallelujah.
It's fantastic. Some tremendous revelation. So Gideon's question was, if God is really God, where's all the miracles? Why is it happening in the church? Why are we closing 5,000 churches in America this year? And why do we have so many de-churched and unchurched? And Gideon's saying, where's all the miracles? Why is all this happening?
That's a great point. Because here, and the answer to Gideon's question, God answered Gideon's question by saying, Gideon, you are the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You are the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use you, an insecure, insignificant, least thought of person in Israel. I'm going to use you and demonstrate my power through your life and cause the Midianites to be defeated through a man who doesn't believe it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gideon, if you will activate what I've put in you, even you can have a miracle. See, Dale, I just believe that we keep putting everything on God.
Mm-hmm.
God, you do it. God, you do it. And God's like going, I deposited it in you all. Do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that I've ever met in my life that needed a breakthrough in my own personal life, my breakthrough was always on the other side of obedience to a simple instruction.
Mm-hmm.
If I was willing to obey a simple instruction, God always gave me a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
We keep looking for these huge, big things. And I just believe God's saying, if you'll just obey a simple instruction, not be afraid to obey what I'm telling you. I mean, you get in every area of our life, most of the time, what keeps us in disobedience? It's our fear.
Mm-hmm.
People don't tithe because they're afraid they don't have enough money.
Yeah.
People don't share their faith because they're afraid somebody will think they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
People are not willing to reach out and get involved in their community because they're afraid somehow it's going to create conflict. It's our fear
mm-hmm.
that keeps us bound up.
Yeah.
The children of Israel wouldn't go in the promised land because they were afraid. It kept them in unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot lose our faith in this hour, and we can't live on with a parallel universe as if it's the big, bad, ugly people out there, and all the amazing, beautiful people are in here,
mm-hmm.
and the two shall never meet. Because the truth of the matter is, Dale, we got some big, bad, ugly people in here and out there.
Yeah,
and we have to learn to be able. Wow. N.T. Wright, an Anglican bishop, wrote about when God becomes a king. See, this is the deal. Paul was in prison because he kept saying Jesus Christ is Lord. America doesn't mind Jesus being a savior. America doesn't mind Jesus being a healer. Doesn't mind Jesus being a deliverer. The book of Acts, nobody cared that a man at a gate called Beautiful got healed. Nobody was thrown in prison because the man got healed. The question at the city council meeting was, by what name did you do that? Because when we have conflict, and when we have conflict in the local church, when we have conflict in our life as believers, is when we say, Jesus is King. He's Lord. And the desperate need of our broken world is we need the reign of the good King, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
If our world would once every place that people come under the reign of the good King, mm-hmm. life begins to prosper.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly believe what you're saying, Bishop Tony Miller. Good to have Bishop Tony Miller on with me today here. The pastor of The Gate, Oklahoma City, and leader of Destiny World, and one of the great preachers in America. And, you know, I'm so thankful that you're sharing these things today. It's been very helpful. If anybody's hearing me typing, it's because I've been taking notes while you have been speaking. But, you know, I think you've made a lot of things clear. I think there are so many questions. There are so many questions that are being asked. I know I used to do some traveling with Evander Holyfield when he was boxing, and there was a guy that picked me up from the airport taking me to the boxing arena and suddenly just said, where are all the mighty men at? Where are all the mighty men? And the Holy Spirit had been speaking to me about that. Where are all the men of God at? And, you know, I was with you maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I heard the Holy Spirit saying, where are all of the preachers? I know we have a lot of talking men on the platform today, and we have a lot of motivational speakers, and I don't want to be, you know, derogatory or be negative about that, but we have a lot of men that can talk, but where are all the preachers? Where are all the mighty men? And so there are so many, many questions that I believe has some type of, as was said in 1 Corinthians 14, they have some type of significance. And, I've worked with pastors a lot for the past 30 years, and so many pastors are saying, why are people leaving my church, and why are so many people discontent, and why are people so restless? And so there are so many, many questions that are being asked. And, so many men are leaving the ministry. I was just visiting with a pastor a few weeks ago, and he said, I'm going to Colorado on vacation, but when I get back, I'm resigning my church. I'm leaving the ministry. And I'm saying, well, why? And so I believe there's some valid questions out there that people are asking concerning the church, what's happening to the church, why are we having a decrease in the church in some aspects when we know that God is still real. And I believe valid questions are needing to be answered. I certainly know you've answered some today, but there may be some leaders, some pastors out there that are really struggling. I see probably more than ever before pastors, church leaders that are struggling with discontentment in the congregation, are restless among people, people designing their own way, and all of these why's are coming up. So, you know, I know you can't answer all the questions, but you might like to take a shot for pastors, Christian leaders, elders that are, you know, going through the fire at this point in time with all of the upheaval in this nation.
I think there's a huge amount of discouragement and disillusionment that has entered the ministry. And it's because in some ways we have lost sight of what is a win. What's a true win? So many things have become the metrics today that have nothing to do with God. You know, I was reminded in Hebrews 2, verse number 1, I think it is, it says, it is crucial, I think the Message Bible says, it's crucial that we keep a firm grip on what we've heard, lest we drift off from it. Mm-hmm. Drifting becomes a part of our life, mm-hmm. if we don't keep a firm grip on what God said to us, mm-hmm. you don't even have to intend to drift. If you go fishing in a fishing boat or a bass boat, if you don't put an anchor down, you will drift with the current.
That's true.
And you'll look up and say, "Man, I didn't. I'm 300 yards from where I thought I was." Uh-huh. We have to constantly reaffirm the things that we believe God has been saying to us, and reaffirm the Word. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he said, "The answer to a drifting culture is preach the Word. Preach the Word in season, out of season." He said, "When you preach the Word, here's what'll happen." It'll make people sober up and keep their head on straight. I'm telling you, Dale, I'm persuaded that the world's intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
Half the world's drunk.
Yeah.
And they're not drunk on alcohol. We're drunk on systems of thought
mm-hmm.
that have paralyzed us in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're drunk, your senses can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say things like this, "Well, I feel like."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, I feel I should." "Well, I feel like this." And the reality is, when I'm drunk, I can't trust my senses. So I can only trust the Word that anchors me so I don't drift away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had a major round table here with pastors last Thursday. I had Dan Rockwell here with me, which is one of the, Inc. magazine calls him one of the 30 foremost leadership coaches in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dan and I were talking with pastors, I said to them, "The big thing, you know, the thing you taught us years ago, Dale, that now major corporations, I mean, if you could have bottled this stuff, it would have been worth millions to you. Major corporations are finding out that the key to keeping corporations and corporate culture together is teaching people to connect. In other words, learn to build relationships."
Yeah.
Because one of the things that keeps you from drifting is having stable relationships.
Yeah.
Somebody that can look at you and say, "What are you doing? Why are you thinking that?"
Mm-hmm.
But many, many people in ministry never think about building relationships until they need them.
That's true.
And if you only build a relationship when you need one, you never have a relationship you can trust, because then you don't know whether people are building a relationship with you for what they can find out, or how they can take advantage of your vulnerability. You can't never trust a relationship, because it was never built in a safe time. You now can't trust it in a very vulnerable time.
Right.
I think those are key. You know, I believe that ministry people, I believe God, we find out whether we're intoxicated or not by how we respond to greatness. What happens when God begins to bless my life?
Mm-hmm.
If it makes me more arrogant, then I'm not walking with God. If I'm more confident when everything's going right than when everything's going wrong, I've somehow got a wrong source.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
That's a challenge to me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know our story.
Uh-huh.
I've lived through hellacious times, and you know what? We've been blessed. And I mean, this summer we grew by 120, 150 in average attendance from June to August.
That's
in the middle
amazing.
Of summer.
Amazing.
But only God could do that. But
yeah.
God has taught me, Tony, you can't drift from the things I've told you.
Right.
And if you don't keep a firm grip on them, you'll drift away from them.
Mm-hmm.
I think prayer is something we got to keep a firm grip on. I think preaching the Word is something we got to keep a firm grip on. We've got to quit succumbing to this entertainment culture that dumbs down the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dale, I stood in Charles Spurgeon's pulpit 2 weeks ago, and I'm standing there, and I began to read afterwards some of his sermons, and those sermons were not 15-minute motivational speeches.
Right.
They were 50 minutes, 60 minutes long, and people would stand in the auditorium to listen to him preach.
Uh-huh.
And they were not just highly excitable. They were deep, theological, reasoning messages.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, this is where the world was. And today, we have a biblically illiterate society, people that don't want anybody to take more than, you know, don't bother me with trying to make me think.
Mm-hmm.
We are all ADD. And we wonder why we keep drifting, because we have to be trained again how to hold firm on the things that we've been taught.
Well, I certainly believe that, and I know that you have applied prayer to your life. You've applied the study of the Word. I know you've given yourself to the Word. You're well prepared, And I know that you have built relationships over the years. And I think I agree that so many, many pastors and Christian leaders, even Christians themselves, are moving into error, discouragement, all kinds of vulnerabilities because of a lack of relationships. Or, you know, as you said, they don't know who they're in relationship with. But I'm thankful for men like yourself that I've been in relationship with since 1987, and Pastor Tom Peters in Florida that I've been in relationship with. Actually, I got acquainted with him about the same month I got acquainted with you. I was on the phone this morning with Pastor Bob Nichols in Fort Worth, who's now pastored for 51 years. And in relationship with him, and of course you are also are. And, you know, we were talking today about Wayne Myers that I've been in relationship with for a long time. He's 92 years old now, still going around preaching the gospel. And so, you know, it's these men that we are in relationship with, like yourself, I believe that keeps us steady in the boat. Because I see so many younger men that are just making so many unwise decisions because they are falling into error of just men that they've heard of, men that they have maybe listened to, they thought were maybe dynamic or motivating, or maybe they don't even know them personally. And so as a result of these anchors in their life, I think there's a lot of upheaval in the church world. And also, you know, people that get disconnected from the church, the de-church, the unchurched, and they lose the relationships they have in the church. And so it's one thing to say, well, I really don't have a church to go to, et cetera. But when you don't have a pastor that can pray with you, that can love on you, or people in the church that that can share your burdens, then it becomes a major problem in our nation, a major challenge in our land.
Yeah, Dale, right on. We have, if I can be this bold, because I think, if I can wrap a story around it, take me about 2 minutes.
Yeah, you go.
We've forgotten the value of generational relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge generational divide in the body of Christ today. We have whole churches that say their whole target audience is everybody 30 and under. Well, I look at those young guys when they tell me this. They'll ask me, Bishop, who's your target audience? And I'll say, well, anything breathing. And they'll say, well, I'm targeting young couples 35 and under. I say, well, what are you going to do when you get to be 50?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to quit? Because
mm-hmm.
life is not going to slow up for you. Everybody matures. And God intended for there to be generational connection. He identified himself generationally. God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He identified himself generationally. And when we, Timothy, the faith of your grandmother, the faith of your mother, let it be encouragement to you today.
Mm-hmm.
That when we lose the generational connections, we lose the wisdom and the ability to see through some things that I believe that older men bring into my life. And when we lose the young men to themselves, we lose their energy and passion.
Mm-hmm.
To keep pushing the gospel forward. I love hanging out with millennials. These young guys, I know you do too.
Absolutely.
Because there's a passion, there's a desire, there's a dream. I am not negative about our millennials. I want to help guide them.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help direct them. I want to help release them
into
what it is God's called them to do.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a young 30-year-old preacher, you invited me into a circle of men and women that were much my seniors. And today my life is what it is because I sit in those rooms. You know what? I had not earned the right to talk. When Bob Nichols and Tom Peters and B.B. Hankins and those great men and women were sharing, I hadn't earned the right to talk in the early days. I learned that I was privileged to be there to listen. But that generational connection impacted my life. It gave me some pillars that anchored me to certain things that are non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned this, Dale, that when you make a commitment is something you do and you don't have to continue to make decisions about.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't ever make a commitment, then you're constantly making decisions.
That's good.
When you make commitments to certain values, you don't have to keep making decisions about them.
Right.
So I've followed what you did with me, and I do that with pastors today. I just sit with them in small groups and talk to them about things that help to anchor them, and then hear their dreams and help focus and direct them. I believe we have to once again. You know, I looked at some young pastors not long ago. I had a room full of them, all of them 35 and under.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I know you guys think that you should be leading the world, but 75% of y'all in here have never paid a mortgage payment on a church yet.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Right? Just be, hold on.
Uh-huh.
You've never had to deal with a church split, because right now you're in a storefront riding high because you've got 75 people. And you've got 45 people reading your blog every day, so you believe you're turning the world upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you talk to some older guys who, when you look at them and talk to them about, you know, are you on Facebook or Twitter or Periscope, they think of Periscope, that's on a submarine. I don't know what that is. They don't have a clue, you know. And I want to welcome them to the 21st century.
Yeah.
We have to have this generational connection,
mm-hmm.
I believe, in order for the church and its leadership to really move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And you do that well. You and Gene have done that extremely well. I'm a testimony of it, and now you're reaching back even to another generation. And I congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tony Miller. It's such an honor to have made this journey with you since 1987. And my life has been much richer because I've had the opportunity to be in relationship, not just know you and Kathy, but to have made the journey with you and watched your faithfulness and watched how you've affected your generation and other generations. And I'd like for you to pray right now, because I've made a commitment that I'm not going to talk about anything I can't pray about. And so I want you to pray however the Holy Spirit leads you. And then let's talk about how pastors or leaders or anyone else can make a connection with you and how they can hear more about what the Holy Spirit is saying to your life. So let's pray and then give some information.
Okay. Father, today we're grateful that you're alive, that Jesus is the conquering King, and we humble and bow our knees today to the Lordship of Jesus. And we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, we honor you, and we look for and invite your ruling presence to come into our lives today. Father, I pray for people that's listened to this broadcast that may be in places of great timidity, great apprehension. Lord, I pray for people that have been living in anxiety and fear over what's going to happen with not only their personal life but the future. And I speak to the spirit of fear today. By the blood of Jesus, we command its power to be broken. I speak life into you today. Faith, come alive. Lord, you said that faith comes by hearing the word, and hearing the word by the word of God. So, Lord, today we just speak the word of God, the hope of promise that comes through Jesus into their life today. I declare people will not be afraid over their own financial future. They'll not be afraid over their family's future. But they will be dynamically bold. Stir up the gift of God that's in you today. Father, I ask you to ignite a flame on the inside of hearts today that even may have gone out. Would you reignite that flame so they can fan it into full blaze? Lord, today I release an anointing to people that are listening this morning. I release an anointing to be bold. The righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursues. I release an anointing that comes by the power of the Holy Ghost, because when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they begin to speak with boldness. So thank you, Lord, today for fresh infillings, fresh anointings that will come on people's lives. And I bless people that are listening today. Lord, I pray for Gene and Dale. I thank you for the influence they have across the nations of the world. And I pray today for complete restoration in Gene's health. I pray today that there'll be a continual igniting on the inside of Dale, that he'll feel like a new man every day as he steps into a place to preach and declare the word. And the flame will burn brightly on the inside of his life. I bless him today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
That's a wonderful prayer, and I appreciate that so very, very much. And I'm so delighted to have you back on this week, because I knew that you had some additional things that you needed to tell us, and I'm so glad that you took time out to be with us here today on the broadcast, and let people know how they can reach you, give them some information. I know that you do have pastors' conferences and groups that connect, and so give us some information there.
We have our annual national conference is April 13th through 15th, 2016, and it'll be here in Oklahoma City. But Destiny Network is available for people that want to connect. We have regular roundtables in regions of the country. I just finished one in Florida in August. We had one here in September. We'll be doing another one in the Northeast right after the first of the year. And so if people are in those regions and want to come and spend the day, it's primarily built around relationship and resourcing people for the dreams that's in their heart. They can go to destinynetwork.org and find out information about how to connect with the network. And if they're interested in just knowing some of what we're doing, or even there's pastors, I have multiple pastors that call and come in and spend a day or 2 days with me here in Oklahoma City. Some will come spend the weekend, go through some of the things we're doing at the gate, and pick them up and take them back home with them. They can just go to thegatechurch.tv. All of our Sunday services are archived on there as far as the message. People can go there. That's free for folks. So some of the stuff I shared today just came out of a series of messages I talked about called Living Bold. Anything we can do to help other men and women succeed in the ministry they have, here's my philosophy. Your success is our honor. We want to help you.
Well, I know that you're helping a lot of people in the church, outside the church, and particularly those that are in ministry. There's so many pastors out there that they are have been disconnected or are not connected at all. And I know that there's opportunities there for them and their congregation to be connected. And I just I would encourage everyone listening today to go to thegatechurch.tv and listen to some of your sermons, watch some of your sermons that are archived there. And I know that they would be tremendously blessed. Thank you very much, Bishop Tony Miller, for being on BPN Radio today. I sure love you. I'm so thankful to have you in my life and thankful to have you on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Dale. We love you and Gene.
God Bye-bye. Bless you. Bye-bye. Well, it's been great having you here listening today on BPN Radio. It's been great having Bishop Tony Miller, and our time has run out today. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time or any time here on BPN Radio as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.